Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello, welcome back to the Business Abundance Podcast. I'm Zee and I'm here with Rowan and Ian. And today we're going to be chatting about why most advice doesn't work and why business owners keep buying it. I see a lot of Instagrammers, I guess, coming up with advice, sitting from their Lamborghinis, looking pretty.
Did they just go up to someone on the street and say, "That's a nice Lamborghini, can I take a photo in front of it?"
Maybe. But they might actually own it. I mean, we can't just bring them down.
I think Instagram is possibly the richest place on earth, just based on Instagram posts.
What, from the amount of money
just the perception,
yeah.
Everyone's so successful.
It is. But you have to be careful when you look through the information that you're being fed through Instagram or TikTok or wherever it might be. I mean, that's for everything, isn't it? You got to filter the advice you get.
You listen to.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I don't trust those podcasts. This is not legally binding advice for businesses.
But there's a guru for everyone. So how are we meant to sift through the information and figure out who is actually giving advice that is relevant to you? That's, I guess, the real question. And how can you implement that in your business so that it works? I mean, you can watch a video and in 30 seconds they can give you 7 tips to increase your business's value by $1 million.
Yeah.
And that's 30 seconds of information and you've got to take that home and try and do something about it.
Now you're on their email list.
I just think I like just like the title, why most advice doesn't work and why business owners keep buying it. Which is an interesting one because a lot of people don't even buy the advice.
They'll sign up for the email and then get the initial PDF sent to them.
And they'll ask everyone questions about what they should do.
Yeah.
But they won't buy the advice.
I think.
So they're still getting the advice, I guess.
I think when you're drowning, you'll reach out to any hand, if that makes sense. So a lot of businesses could be doing better. Some might feel like they're drowning. Some are probably going really well and just want to top up. But it'll always come across your algorithm on whatever social media you're on, or you'll have a cold call, or you'll have something.
I was talking to a new client's admin person. They're explaining all the issues that the business had and what they'd noticed through the years and whose fault was particular things. The opinions seemed pretty sensible, explaining the reasons why. And
dangerous phrase, whose fault it is.
Yeah, well, yes and no. But really talking about a lot of things that we had talked about with the client. Anyway, the admin person over the course of an hour and a half, I think it was, basically said that everything that was in the plan that we're going to do for them seemed sensible, and she can back up a lot of that and has seen, you know, the issues it caused and then made the comment, which I hear often, "I've said all these things through the years, but he never listens to me."
Yeah.
And I say to everyone here that does advise clients that the clients always know what they need to do. So you don't have to be an expert in everything. But they don't know. Sorry, that a lot of the time they don't want to pull the trigger, I guess.
Hmm.
The admin person showed frustration that they'd been trying to help and sort of given up because blah, 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 and never listens and thinks maybe if they were a professional or different colour of hair, they'd get listened to, but they're not taken seriously. Like I said, it's very different. Someone is paying for advice, paying a good amount for advice from someone they think's professional and respectable, and doesn't mean they're going to listen to it. Still, I said it's not so much the advice that's important of what to do, it's the ability to communicate that that's what they should do. So most people get advice, or they ask their friends, or they look on social media, but they don't do anything with it. Like, and then they might have got 10 different opinions, and then one of those might have been right, they did in the future, and they're like, "I told you so. Why don't you listen to me?" So it's easy to say what people should do, but another thing is that people won't do it. And most advice doesn't work because people take the advice because they've got a problem and they want help and they want to throw money at it or throw someone else at it, make it their problem and hope it goes away.
Yeah, blame it on someone else.
Yeah, but if they don't take the advice and then run with it, nothing changes. I think sporting there, like if you can get some tips on how to improve as an athlete or whatever, and then you don't actually go and practice it or take it on board or figure out how it works for you, nothing changes.
With the advice, like you look at the generic advice and going back to places that you get it, you look at...
Well, like where? Don't say the words.
Like on blog posts.
Different podcasts.
Or social media.
But you get the advice that sounds something like systemize everything.
Yep. 7 steps to
You wouldn't have any problems with people or things going wrong if you had systems for everything, would you?
Yeah. Post more content. Mm. Like it's so incomplete.
Well, it doesn't have context.
Yeah, you don't.
Advice without context is just noise. Yeah, it doesn't
take into account the stage of your business, your cash flow, what your team's capable of, your risk tolerance.
It's fast food, basically. Like, did you go looking for the advice, or did you come across the advice? Someone called you up and said, "Have I got a deal for you?"
Mm.
It's the fast food of the industry. Whereas if you know your specific pain points and you went seeking a business abundance, for instance, for advice, then you've come to them with direction, you've come to them with context. It's not just a happy meal.
Mm.
And a lot of the time, I think, back in the days of cold calling as a radio executive, you're going out trying to sell advertising and you're trying to sell people the idea of advertising, and that's your advice. You should advertise more on our radio station for $12,000 a month, and we'll get you here, here, and here, and here, and we'll have a non-compete clause. That's the advice we're going to give you. Whereas if you went searching for advertising, you would be a bit more pinpoint, you'd have a plan, you'd have a strategy in place. So same with advice. If you know what you need, probably don't need the advice, to be honest, in this day and age, you just...
Well, no, you do. If you know what you need, you still need advice sometimes.
But you might not need to pay for it.
But going back to what Rowan was saying, they often know what they need. Maybe they just get the generic advice, which feels like that's what I need. They just don't know how to get there.
Just take business out of the thought. So
life.
I've got a problem with this person, my friend. What do I do? It's no different.
Mm.
You have a billion different opinions. You know what you need to do, but you'll find about 20 reasons not to do it. And then suddenly you've got all these options and it just drags on and drags on and drags on. Insert anyone's problem there. And then... yeah, you get some advice and you might listen, you might not, but someone's eventually going to convince you that's the most sensible thing to do, or slap you around enough. Or
my grandmother used to get 3 different newspapers and read the horoscope for herself.
And choose the one she liked.
Choose the one she liked. Oh, yeah.
100%. I don't know who I was saying this to, but I say this all the time, but sometimes people pay us just because they want us to tell them that they're right.
Yep.
And but maybe that's all they need.
Some of my closer clients, they'll know, they'll ring me and they're like, "Oh, so I'm thinking about this. I just want to get your opinion." No, hang on. Let's rephrase it. You want me to agree with you. So tell me what you want to do.
Yep.
And that's all. They're only ringing me to say, "Hey, yeah, I've got a great idea."
Yep.
And Rowan's going to tell me it's a great idea and they're going to do it. It's like, well,
I must be a really, really close client because you go, "No, that's stupid. Just don't be an idiot."
I think I never say that to you. But that's the one. There's so much advice out there that I think it's good to put a bit of, or understand how we think. If you can understand as a person, we're always getting advice, we always have problems, and we can't decide what to do, even though we know we need to. I know I need to fire that person, but I can't do it. You know, it drags on and on. Okay. So, you know, the good advisors not only can give the advice, but they can show the before and after. They can show what happens if you don't do it. They can show what happens if you do it. They can make the sale as to why it's a great idea, and get you to the point where you are comfortable making that decision. And going back to the story about the admin person, it's very different than someone just saying, "Hey, you should do this."
Mm.
Because, oh, if I do that and my business fails, what happens then? We're not covering those things. But
I still think with the advice that you get, you have to sort of discern if it's for a $3 million business or if it's for a $300,000 business.
Yeah, you need some perspective and you need to know what's going on and you need to be comfortable making the decision. I think when there's so much advice out there now with the internet and social media and even AI and ChatGPT, et cetera. So the fact is that most of those people, their business is getting you to subscribe to something, or it is getting you to listen to their videos because they get ads. One of our clients was talking to me and said, "Oh, you really like this guy I'm listening to at the moment." And he told me all about him. And he goes, "Oh, I just really changed my business. Like, I've signed up to his thing. It's $200 a month and I'm getting these right tips." And I'm like, "Man, cool. Good on you." And then I was like, "Do you know what his business is?" "Oh, no, he's doing it. Like, he can charge more for this, but he's doing it for that because he doesn't need the money. He's a billionaire." And what's their business?
Yeah.
The business is getting you to subscribe, and that's what's making them a billionaire, you know?
Absolutely, because once you've passed over your credit card details once for $200 a month, next month we've got a sale on the next level.
But I think that's where that advice can be really good, because you can learn things, and then some people have the ability to go and apply that or try it and mix that up and do it, but a lot of people don't. And that's probably the second reason why most advice doesn't work, is because people watch all the different people, they read all the different books, they've tried all the different systems, they get advice from everyone, and it hasn't changed anything. And it's probably, that's too much advice.
In my opinion, and this is purely my opinion, every business help book or get rich quick scheme book that's been released in the last 50 years is just a paraphrasing of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And people have just put their own spin on it. And people keep buying because people might like some of the stuff from Think and Grow Rich, but some of it's quite difficult. And this person might have an easier way. And so I'll buy his book as well, and then I'll sign up to his newsletter, and I'll watch his podcast, and I'll watch him on YouTube. And then I'll follow that guy for a while until he says something that's a little bit difficult, and then I'll find someone else who says they're going to make it easier. Mm. Humans are inherently lazy. We all are. We'll always take the path of least resistance. And I think that's why the 1% are the 1%, because they do what 99% of people won't do.
But how many people forget the information? I'm just reflecting on what I do. Like, I'll read a book and I'll be like, totally forgot that 7-step process that they just told me.
Yeah.
Totally
forgot
about the
7-step process. It's just when you come across something, something triggers you to think about something. Yeah. That's what I find. Like, it's all, you know, sometimes you read it and you forget it. Sometimes you read it and you remember, oh, where was that? I'll go look that up again. Mm. Sometimes you'll just think of an idea and you won't know how you thought of it, but it will be something like you've read in the past helps you get there.
Mm.
I could probably have entire conversations that are cliches from books that I've read, but I wouldn't be able to reference them.
Sounds about right. You reference a lot, though.
Mm.
Z, when you're talking about the advice for different size businesses,
mm,
not being the same, but a lot of advice sort of assumes everything's the same.
That's, I guess, what I touched on in the Lamborghini incident, where you have someone sitting in a Lamborghini, and let's just say, for argument's sake, their business is a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah, I scaled. I've got 2,000 employees now, dominating. Yeah.
And
set and forget. I'm
this is how I do it, and I just hire on tap, and it has nothing, and these are the criteria and that sort of thing. It's totally different to someone who lives in a rural area, has 5 employees, and is isolated from large communities, not smack bang in the middle of New York City. I think that does have to be considered when you are taking on their advice. And I know that when I look at those sort of Instagram things, I'm such a skeptic with these sort of things. I just look at it, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Like, a lot of it's true. Like, the same, you should do this.
Totally,
like, yeah,
fair.
But does that apply to you?
But so, yeah, if you're saying, oh, we'll just hire more employees, and someone who is in crisis in their business is hearing that, and they're just like, I need to hire more employees because then I can take on more work. It's
imagine
not
if
actually
your
the
pricing
problem
wasn't quite right, and then you employed another 10 people to
and
do
it's
more.
It's so
of it
much worse. And so I have, what's the word, guru fatigue.
Yeah. Guru fatigue. You've consumed too much advice and
like
not
it
enough thinking.
Yeah. Well, now I'm thinking. Well, always thinking, but it's just you just really need to take that advice carefully. And I kind of get to the point where I only take advice from the people that I trust the most.
Yep.
I won't take advice from – if I look at a I enjoy the gym. So if I look at someone who has a workout routine and they just put it on Instagram, I'm not going to follow that. Mm. I'll go to my PT and say, is this a good idea instead? What they are telling me might be right on Instagram, might be a really good split, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. So I need that person who can sift through all of it and tell
give
me if it's right
advice
or wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you was talking about something before, and it relates, it all relates, ties together, but people are looking for that advice because they want the shortcut.
Hmm.
So they're
lazy.
Of advice is like, this is going to be quick, it's going to be exact, and it's confidence. And to be honest, like, that is something that advisors need to sell. Like, it's much better to have advice that works quickly and they can trust.
I've been to whole events. Like, two main events that I remember clearly was one where the keynote speaker was Richard Branson, and then there was a whole heap of speakers before that during the day, and they were all selling something.
Yeah.
They were all selling advice.
Yeah.
But you got there because Richard Branson was there. And another one was in Auckland with Gary Vaynerchuk. And again, he's the keynote speaker. And the first thing he did when he walked out was said, unlike some of these speakers, I'm not going to try and sell you anything.
Yeah.
And then he just did what Gary Vee does. But I remember the one guy, a real estate guru in Australia, and he was talking in Auckland, and he was talking about being the number one real estate guru and mortgage broker in Australia, who I hadn't heard of being an Australian, and money advisor as well, financial advisor. And I'm thinking, well, you didn't write The Barefoot Investor, so you're probably not number one in most people's eyes. And then he went on to talk about how he reduces your mortgage by 20 years. And if you sign up to my $2,000 a month program, you'll be able to invest in property easily. And a lot of advice that you could get from your local financial advisor for a fraction of the cost. And it was these sorts of perceived value offerings throughout the entire schedule at both events, but they had an audience. And a lot of the audience were there to see Richard Branson at one and Gary Vaynerchuk. So you know what they're there for. They're here to learn from some of the best. Captive audience, have eyeballs on your offer, guaranteed eyeballs on your offer, and now it's a pitch off. Grant Cardone was a minor speaker at one of them as well. And if there's anyone who can speak really well, he spoke well.
He's up there.
Yeah, and like the 10X theory that he's written.
Got some good stuff.
Yeah, it's brilliant stuff. But again, he's a salesman. And for me, it was awesome just to sit there and watch him do his thing and watch how he crafted this offer over 45 minutes of his presentation to then here's the pitch and build up the perceived value. And I think that's what a lot of people in various businesses succumb to is that sounds too good to be true, but what if it is true?
Yeah, well, it's much easier to pay someone to feel like you're doing something to not do anything.
Mm.
A good framework for thinking is to think, why is someone doing something? And then you can go one level is, what were they thinking when they decided to do that?
Yep.
Which actually got from some a guy from France who had owned a gallery and donated it. It's an older guy and his partner, and they were looking at murals in Sheffield locally here. And I went past one and had some nice, colourful aquatic life. Mm. I loved it. This is great. He walked straight past it. Anyway, after three or four, and he stopped at one of us and said, what do you like about this one? And he goes, oh, this one's nice, but, you know, like some of them are drawn well, but there's nothing to it. Some of them are something to it, but they're not drawn well. And he's like, this one's got, you know. And I'm like, oh, so with art, are you just trying to look, what's the artist trying to communicate? Like, that's pretty much art, isn't it? And he's like, no, no. So what is it? He goes, I always look at the art. What was the artist thinking? I'm like, oh, that's different. It's not artist trying to communicate. Yeah, yeah. What is the artist thinking when they did this?
Mm.
And then it became quite interesting. I can't quite articulate that, but if you look at something and you go, what was the artist thinking at the time?
Yeah.
It's actually quite interesting then. And I do when people are talking to me now or advising me to do something or they want you to do something. And I say, well, what are they thinking? So are they desperate because of something?
Yep.
Are they trying to? So we're a lot of advisors, and every advisor has to make a sale. So is this advice or is this a sale?
Yep.
Am I income or am I, you know? But the thing is, they're allowed to do that because it's their job, right?
There's a market for it as well.
I think, you know, you've got to then be able to go, well, what's one that's we're giving you all the promises for the sale, but then we've also got to balance it with, you saying the silver bullet before, you didn't say silver bullet, but that result.
Perceived value versus real value.
I'm constantly, part of my job day to day is slowing people down.
Yep.
So you've got to be patient. Like we've done a few changes. Let's just let it sit for a few months, see what happens.
So you mean if I don't just do these 7 steps, I'm not going to instantly be a millionaire?
No, well, it's for this wait.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing, you know. Yep. We do the boring stuff. Business is boring, right? So why is your business dominating your life? Because you're doing everything all the time. You're constantly changing it. And, you know, well, let's just set and forget and see what happens and then make some changes. So, you know, we need patience, we need judgment, we need trade-offs. So if we do this, that's not going to work as well, but this is going to work better, right? There's always this flow. So I think why people love buying the advice is that it means they're doing something, but in reality we also need to – why it doesn't work is because they think it's a quick fix and they go do it and then they take on the next bit of advice, and as soon as they're not doing something, it's more advice, when in reality sometimes you need to be patient, do the right things well. But what it comes down to, people just don't want to think.
True story.
That, yeah, don't want to be
responsible, don't want to think.
Mm.
To thing is, why do people
keep basis of marketing right there?
Why do we keep like? Why do people keep getting the advice? So watching it on the TikToks, you know, we've got the reels. Everyone's doing it. You're in the gym. You're looking at things, asking your PT. So why does everyone keep buying advice when they're not actually making the changes?
Because someone's going to make it more comfortable, easier.
Yeah.
Well, it's more hope without risk.
It's easier now. Obviously, you've got more exposure, easier exposure in the pocket, in your phone. But it hasn't changed. Like the 1940s and 50s, it was newspapers, billboards. Then the advent of television made it even easier, so you had to recraft your message. But they were always still selling advice. I mean, at the end of the day, Napoleon Hill went, I'm going to write a book, and here's what I found. And probably the Bible for advice in the history of mankind. But why is there a market for so many spin-offs? Why do you have your Simon Sinek of the world being able to stand in front of a stage at TEDx and practically say the same thing, just paraphrased and slightly different, but get a massive audience? Because I think it stems back from what Z said, I trust him more.
Same thing with the admin person I said before. I heard it from there, but if I hear it from you, I trust you, so I'm going to do something, which makes it effective advice, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So how do you, as a business owner, then hack that, I suppose, for want of a better word? Hack sounds nasty, but hack it in a beneficial way to go, how do I get my audience to trust me and want to buy from me? Maybe that's the key conversation.
Or looking at it from the different perspective of receiving the advice than what Z said, you know, that's good. She's listening to a few people that she trusts to get that advice and she's cutting out the rest.
Hmm.
So that's taking that fatigue out of things or the uncertainty.
Very important point.
I think why people keep getting the advice, though, is it makes them feel better. So it's safer than going, oh, I'm doing the wrong thing, or I know I could be doing better. Yeah. But I've got some advice. It's easier than making the decision. And if they're feeling uncertain about something, it makes them comfortable.
I mean, in the most brutal way of putting it, just transfers blame to someone else, doesn't it? It's just someone else's fault if it doesn't go right.
Yeah,
well, sometimes you've got to take the thorns with the roses, and I think that's a good way to put it.
We've had meetings with people that might have made sense at the time and who were taking the advice, and hang on, you're just saying yes because we're giving you the advice and you're paying for it, make you feel better. Like, you've actually got to go do it. It might not work, you know?
Well, that's ChatGPT. If you don't train your GPT to be critical of your ideas, it's just going to sit there and go, that's a great idea, Ian. Well done. Well, yes.
It's not even that, but people ask for the advice. They get the advice and then they sit there and like, oh, no, I've done something now. No, you haven't. You've asked, you've paid, you've received the advice. But
now you have to implement.
That's not our job. That's yours.
Yep.
But you can see when people aren't actually going to do it. And I've had clients 2 years later go, oh, remember you telling me this 2 years ago? And I'm like, yeah. And the back of my head, I was like, nah.
Well, I worked.
I'm like, you're an idiot. You should have said nah, and we could have talked about it. It still could have been, the answer could have been no, but then now you're 2 years later going, oh, I really need to do that, and I'm glad I've done it now, but I wasted 2 years. Like, what's the point?
I worked with a business.
It was comfortable that she had help.
Many years ago that sought advice from you, actually, in a different world, and I was the person who was nominated to go to these seminars and bring the information back. And brilliant advice, just to pump your tyres up, mate. And then bringing it back, one owner was very, very on board. Another owner was sceptical. And then the general manager was, there's no way we will implement that here because we've always done it this way. And so then you have to have a look at your team and go, well, is everyone on the same page? It was literally like running headfirst into a brick wall, bringing this. You could see the plan. You could see where the business could be. And not being a key decision maker, just being a marketing person, not having any real influence, but then disseminating the knowledge, knowing full well that if we do this, 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 and this, we're going to go from being a $10 million a year business to hundreds. And that person over there doesn't want to do it, so we're going to fail.
Yep. And I think that's the last part about why people keep getting it is the advice often fails because no one has ownership over it.
Yeah, I was just thinking they get the information, go, that's a great idea, and then they kind of think about it and they go, oh, I don't have time for it. And then another video shows up.
With it.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, that can't work. Do that.
I don't like that step there. So the whole lot of it is garbage.
Yeah.
Or and then they go
this part, and it didn't work. That advice wasn't good. So I'm still fine. It wasn't me who failed.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, now I actually need to fix my time management. That's more important. And then someone says something about time management. Oh, I can't do that.
Yep.
So then I got to figure something out, and that's why they keep.
And then going viral. The people that you probably trust more, it's a bit easier. But what you find with advice and coaching is a different topic to advice. But the coaching is how do you help someone get somewhere? And so it's not just about giving the advice, but it's with them figuring out how are they happy to do something to get to a point. And that might not be the gold standard. It might not be the platinum standard. It might be the silver standard, but that's the one they're happy to do. So I think just understanding that people keep consuming advice because it's also an excuse if something doesn't go wrong. If something doesn't go right, they can blame the advice, and it's their problem that they've already got is not their fault.
It's almost like the worst advice is advice.
If you want a good advisor, you probably get someone you get along with, someone that understands where they're at.
If only there was a team that had a group of people where you could find.
Here comes the sales pitch. It's not a sales pitch.
If only there was a team where you could find someone within the team who you would get along with, because there's so many different personalities in your team, Rowan.
Just for all the listeners, Ian only does this because it annoys me. get an advisor that understands what you're going through and you get along with and can help you think, because it's not the advice, it's how you consume it and how you adapt that for yourself. Mm. And then the last thing is that it's good to not just get someone off the internet, and when it doesn't work, throw it away. Like, if you're going to get advice, get someone that when you're implementing it doesn't work, talk to them again. And like, how do we fix this?
Because
it doesn't matter what advice you get, it matters what gets executed and what the outcomes are. And the best advisors will help you get that income, which creates the income. and that's what they stand by. You know, there might
sounds
be,
like a tagline in the making.
There might be five failures along the way, but they'll get the outcome in the end, so.
Business abundance. We'll get the outcome that gets the income.
Oh, my goodness.
But at the end of the day, most people aren't failing because they lack the information. It's because they're outsourcing it. They don't want to think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thinking's hard.
Look, if something isn't working in your business, the answer is usually not more advice. Just start discerning.
Keep it simple.
And keep it simple. On that note, we'll leave it there, everyone. Have a good afternoon, wherever you are, morning, whatever you're doing, driving.
Night.
Good night.
Podcasting, they could be listening at any time.
Exactly.